Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping we're going to have Mr. William Gill with us, and he's head of the Coalition for Competitive Trade, deals with NAFTA, World Trade Organization, and this effort to transfer the wealth and the industrial capacity of the United States to other countries. And right here on the line is Mr. William Gill. Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. And I was just sort of introducing you. Of course, you've been around for many, many years back there in Washington, D.C., fighting against this effort to transfer the wealth and the productive capacity of the United States to other countries. And, of course, sometimes it seems that we seem to be fighting a losing battle. First of all, we had NAFTA, and then we had the World Trade Organization. And then recently, of course, they got the fast-track legislation through, which allows the president to negotiate, or his representatives to negotiate, with the nations of South and Central America to create a common trade area, which, of course, is a prelude to a common currency, which is the prelude to a common government, as we move towards consolidating all the Western Hemisphere into a one, really one nation, just as they've done exactly the same in Europe by using this guise of free trade. And then, of course, with that comes the loss of our sovereignty and raising the living standards of the average American to that of the Mexican peasant. That sounds a little absurd, but can this thing happen? Is this what they really intend?
Absolutely. And, in fact, the precedent is Europe. As you know, they called it for 20 years or more the European Common Market, and before they finally at Maastricht put over the came out of the shadows and told the world that they were amalgamating politically as well as economically.
But you know, the thing is that these people lie. In other words, the last thing that the average American could believe is that our president would be part of this movement to do away with American sovereignty. And yet, of course, this really is exactly what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, our president, the present president at least, doesn't believe in American sovereignty. He believes in absolutely open borders, give amnesty to illegal aliens, just to send our troops all over the world to defend other countries, but don't put anybody on the border, don't put any troops on the border to defend our own people. He doesn't believe in American sovereignty.
And, of course, well, they're going to say, you know, that's what the Russians had. They had troops on their border, but the troops were never on their borders to keep people out. It was to keep people in, and that would be entirely different.
That's right. It's just the opposite of what we want to do. Yes.
And, of course, the thing is that everybody wants to come to America, and I can't say I blame them. But, of course, by making America more like the other countries, then, of course, we will lose our attraction. And, of course, the hope and dreams of people in other countries, in third world countries, will be destroyed if America and its industrial capacity and its leadership is destroyed once and for all.
Well, it's already, you can see this already. It isn't something that's just in the future, Doctor. It's here and now. And just on the recent visit in California, where I was privileged to share a platform with you, I could notice this more than the last time I was out there just a year ago. It's increasing all the time. I got into a cab to go to the airport from the hotel where we were, and the whole communication in the cab is in Spanish. It's not in English anymore. It's in Spanish. I mean, the whole network of cabs is tied into a Spanish network. That's just one example of you know, hundreds you can run across it. Los Angeles is becoming a Mexican town.
But you know, it's not only Mexican, but you'll find that there'll be a Vietnamese network, there'll be a Chinese network, you know, there'll be all these networks from all these other languages as well, although the predominant one, of course, is Spanish. But
yes,
increasingly we find America ceasing to be a Christian nation. It is increasingly becoming a multicultural society in a multicultural world, and that's what it's really all about. There is a master plan, but of course we can't let the citizens understand what this is about.
Yeah, that's the philosophy. Don't let them know.
Right, because they might
miss the dark.
They don't understand that the elite really know what they're doing. They have a wonderful plan to change the world. And of course, if we understood why we might just not go along with their agenda. We might try to preserve America, but they don't believe in America. They have a different dream. They have a different vision of what the world should be like.
That's right. They want a homogenized world in which only they have any identity, and the American people have none any more than the Chinese coolies and so on that they're homogenizing us with.
Well, you know, the thing is that this really has nothing to do with race. It has to do with your attitude towards life and towards America. And you can be a Japanese or Chinese, and you can be a wonderful American. But you have to understand the foundations of our freedom, the foundations of our society, and understand that we were not a society where people were guaranteed anything. We were a society where men had the opportunity to succeed or fail. And the right to happiness guaranteed in our Declaration of Independence was the pursuit of happiness. It was never to be happiness, because the government that can provide your happiness has to be able to control whatever you have. And I can guarantee you that when they control whatever you have, you're not going to be very happy.
Well, I have sometimes thought, Dr. Monteith, that the seeds of our own present destruction, which is what it is, slowly being destroyed, it goes all the way back, even to some of the founding documents. The first words in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. If they had only added, all men are created equal in the sight of God, that would be quite a different thing. But they didn't do that.
No, they didn't.
And so right there, in that very first phrase of the founding, the founding document of the United States, we have this going off the steep end into some other realm that we don't belong in at all.
All right, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and I just want to mention to our listeners that if you're out there and you feel sort of run down and you need a little extra energy, or you need a lot of extra energy, one thing that I've used for well over a decade, or at least for a decade, is something called royal jelly, Be Alive Royal Jelly, and it's a very, very specific type of royal jelly, not quite what you're going to get in a lot of health food stores. In fact, it isn't sold in health food stores. It's only sold directly to users, and we've been getting it from the same company for pretty close to a decade. If you'd like to learn more about it, call them at 1-800-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500, 1-866-233-7500, sold with a money-back guarantee. You take it for 3 months, and if you don't feel better, you get your money back, and that's pretty hard to argue with, and so we recommend it to you very, very strongly. And then I want to mention that we're going to have a program out at the Aptos Seascape golf course. It's going to be a luncheon. It's going to be an all-day seminar. Really, we're in for some very, very difficult times financially and physically and emotionally. It's really very important that you know what's coming down the line and you begin to prepare for it. So we're going to have Bill Sardi is going to be up here talking on health issues, and Joan Paris and Jeannie Soderman and Brad Dacus, I'm going to be talking. Doors are going to open at 8. Program starts at 8:45. And, of course, we're going to have a luncheon, a syllabus available. And we hope that you can come. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Make a reservation right now. We need to know how many people are coming. And also, encourage your friends to come. You won't be sorry if you do.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Mr. William Gill. Would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization?
Yes, they can contact us at ACT, that's capital A-C-C-T, ACT, Inc., if they want to put the Inc. on the I-N-C. And it's at Post Office Box 25764. I'll repeat that, Post Office Box 25764. Washington, D.C., 2007. That's 2 3 0s and a 7.
All right, fine. That's the American Coalition for Competitive Trade, or ACT. And, of course, they're on the front lines, and basically you're a group of how many different organizations aligned together to try to preserve our free enterprise system?
We now have 25 organizations involved with us, and the aggregate membership is well over 500,000 people. And in fact, one of the groups that's working on the immigration problem has over 250,000 people. Just one group.
Well, I think
so
that...
we've got quite a strong coalition here that has had quite a clout up until recently, at least, with the Republicans going off the steep end and following President Bush into the war syndrome and justifying everything else, including the fast track and the free trade area of the Americas, which is the first going to be the first creation of this fast track if we permit it to be. Now, I think we can beat it because we only lost the fast track vote by 3 votes. Here in July, and I think those 3 votes can be reversed. We won a fast track under the Clinton regime in '98 by 63 votes in the House. So that's quite a reversal, and it's all due to the desertion of the Republicans in the House. We had 71 Republicans with us in '98 against fast track. And that melted down to 23 this last time.
But, of course, that's because of the pressure of the Bush administration, which is carrying out the same policies as the Clinton administration. You know, in fact, it was really so interesting that under the Clinton administration, you know, there were an awful lot of Democrats who opposed this, and they stood up to the Clintons. But it seems that when the Republican administration comes in, why the Republicans are really much less willing to take a stand in opposition to the president than the Democrats are.
That's exactly right. In fact, I was speaking before a group just today up in Capitol Hill, and one of the people in the audience, after hearing my talk, made that same observation that you've made, that it's under the Republicans that we seem to have lost most of our sovereignty. It's under the Republicans that we have lost it, for this very reason, that the Republicans in the Congress never want to go against a Republican in the White House as they do against a Democrat.
And I think that's so tragic. I mean, the people are supposed to, people in Washington, D.C., our elected representatives are supposed to represent us, not the power structure that always controls the presidency. And we always see the same groups of people, you know, in the executive branch of government and the various cabinet positions. And, of course, the big moneyed interests seem to be able to simply buy and sell our politicians. But, you know, I would think they would buy the Democrats and the Republicans equally. In this instance, it seems that they buy more Republicans than they do Democrats. And it takes a lot of courage to stand up and say, I'm not going to go along with you. But we need people of courage, and of course we have them. We have to back them here in the individual areas, or they will, as they did in New Hampshire, where they ran another Republican against Senator Bob Smith, one of the finest senators we have. They wanted to get him out. They simply didn't like him. He was not going along and playing the game. So they took him out in the primary, and they may lose the seat to the Democrats. They don't care. They want, of course, to punish anybody who doesn't go along with the system. And
yes.
When we have the ability, this is not representative government. This is what dictatorships are made of.
It's my belief, Dr. Monteith, that we have not had real representative government in this country since the fateful year 1913. And in that year, four things happened. The first was the special session of the Congress that was called by President Wilson to do away with the American system, the protective system in trade. And they did away with the tariff. They replaced the tariff with the income tax, which was coming in already on another thing that was related to a previous debate over trade in the House and in the Senate. And finally, at the very end of that year, they put in the Federal Reserve System was approved by the House and then by the Senate. And whoever controls the purse strings of a nation controls the nation. And ever since then, the American people have had very little to say about their own government, because their own government is being controlled by a small clique, a relatively small clique of mostly bankers, but multinational corporations, the high and the mighty. And the people no longer have anything to say.
I think they called it, Taylor Caldwell called it the captains of the kings. And for our listeners out there who haven't read that wonderful book, it's maybe 30 years old, but it's a great book still. And, of course, in the foreword to the book, Taylor Caldwell says, you know, there really is this organization I'm talking of that really does control the destiny of our nation. And, of course, what most people don't understand is that the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation. That creates inflation and stock market bubbles and creates recessions and terrible suffering. They have the ability to control the future of our nation. And it happens because the good people are unconcerned. We've got Fred calling in here from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to ask one question to your guest.
Right.
I would love to see the country get this sniper in any way they could, but could he comment on the Posse Comitatus law and what he thinks of what's going on right now?
Would you like to? Thank you so much, Fred. Do you want to stay on the line? Okay, Fred's gone. You want
to? Well,
it's a little off the subject, but
yes,
do you want to comment on the Posse Comitatus at all?
No, I really don't claim to be an expert on the Posse Comitatus. I think I'm aware of it, of course.
All right.
But this sniper thing here looks more and more, not just to me, but to a lot of people here in Washington, as a very possible tie-in with the terrorists, with the Al-Qaeda or some other anti-American terrorist group. It's too well organized. How they can hide these trucks, which have been identified, the white vans repeatedly, and white trucks, there's two different kinds, and they can't hide something like that. It's got to be a very well-organized group of people, not just one nut who's gone off the wall. I think it's very likely to turn out to be a terrorist problem here.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to be happening. I'm going to have a fellow has done a lot of writing on that on the program here on Monday afternoon, so I hope everybody will be listening then to David Babe, who's done a lot of thought on this. And anyway, we certainly are living in very, very difficult times. And of course, I fear now with the industrial base of America being transferred to Mexico, to South America, to Malaysia, to the Far East, and specifically to Communist China. I mean, is there any way that America can survive as a primary nation, as the world's leading nation, without an industrial base?
We're not going to survive at all if we keep bombing Red China, because Red China is going to blast us off the face of the earth. And again, that isn't just my summation. This is Chinese friends of mine that I've known for many years who were trapped in the communist hell that was made of China after World War II. And they have the same opinion as I have, that these people are just building up their nuclear and missile capabilities. And they are going to just bomb America off the face of the earth. And you could say, well, they'd deter because they'd be afraid that we'd hit them. Mao Zedong said that they can hit us, they can bomb us, but we still have twice their population in America.
No, of course, they have almost five times our population.
That's right.
And, of course, remember, I don't know if you've read Stephen Emerson's excellent book, Hegemon. We'll have to talk about that when we get back, because I got so interested talking, I forgot the time. But right now, of course, I want to mention to our listeners that we have, of course, a number of very important issues. If you'd like to get a copy of my latest video, it's called 911 Contrived. It's a 2-hour and 20-minute video that I talk. If you can stand to hear me talk for 2 hours and 20 minutes uninterrupted, it will give you a tremendous insight into history and a great deal of information that you're never going to hear elsewhere. Again, the name of the video is 911 Contrived, and, of course, the telephone number 1-800-5-HIV, WAR. Well, actually, we're going to have to just take a moment here, and because I got a little ahead of myself on our schedule, and I just want to, of course, comment that we carry several items which I hope many of you will want to get. With Christmas coming up, one of the best gifts you could give to a child, to your children, your grandchildren, would be the ability to read. And if they are victims of a liberal education, they really need to get a Phonopoly set, because in about 16 hours and playing this game, which is fun to play and it's just like Monopoly, they will learn how to pronounce words phonetically, how to spell phonetically, but most how to read phonetically. And this is the way the brain is designed. And certainly you use this game, and there's actually not one game, but five games and two board games. And for $139.95, it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I will tell you, I had a gentleman just the other day who was 62 years old who'd got the game just for himself, and he said he was just so pleased because he was learning so much from it. And then we carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, aware, of course, with this program, and it's all on CD discs, why you can take a child from first grade all the way up to high school graduation with a superb education for $199.95. All the textbooks are there, the lesson plans, the tests. All you really have to do is buy the Saxon textbooks, and of course they have questions and answers there as well. And the child can learn to educate themselves. You're not going to have to invest an awful lot of time, but they're going to get a good sound education. Again, the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, 50,000 of them out across America. I complete the British Encyclopedia Britannica, 1911 there. The Noah Webster's Dictionary, 1913. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, the Robinson Home Curriculum, and Monopoly, and call now.
You ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. William Gill from the ACCT, and that's the Coalition, the American Coalition for Competitive Trade. And again, if you'd like to get in touch with him, Post Office Box 25764, Washington, D.C., 20007. That's Post Office Box 25764, Washington, D.C., 20007. That's three O's and a two and a seven. And of course, we're talking about really what has happened with NAFTA, what's happened with the World Trade Organization. And you know, it's really amazing to me that the American people can be so dull. I mean, you know, before we had NAFTA, they said, look, we've got this great market up there in Canada. We've got this great market down in Mexico. Think of all the products we can sell. And at that time, we had a positive balance of trade with both Canada and Mexico, and the balance was in our favor. And what happened after, you know, we believed these people, the media, the leaders, who kept promising, oh, this is going to be wonderful for industry, so many more jobs, so much more prosperity, and we're going to be able to sell into these countries. What really happened, Mr. Gill?
What really happened is almost immediately, in the very first year, the trade surpluses that we had been running with Mexico and Canada just turned around and became trade deficits. And what those deficits represented was the thousands, literally, well, in the first year it was probably hundreds, of American plants that just picked up and moved, mainly to Mexico, but also a number of them to Canada, too. And it's continued ever since then. In the very first year, Bob Hershey of the New York Times was informed, apparently by somebody who really knew what the count was within our government, that 1.5 million jobs had been lost in the first year, and in the second year, that another million. They have absolutely phonied up the figures of what's involved in this. We have probably lost as many as 3 or 4, even possibly 5 million jobs because of NAFTA. And these were good-paying jobs. You know, all these downsizings that you saw going all the way through the 90s of 10,000 jobs here, 20,000 there, 40,000 in IBM, and so on and so forth. This was largely due to the transfer of our production capacity to not just Mexico and Canada, of course, because there's been a serious shift to places like China and India. We even get these calls now from the credit card companies are coming in from India. They're not willing to pay the minimum wage here to the telephone callers anymore, so they go to India and pay them, what, 5 cents an hour, 10 cents an hour, who knows, and they call from India. I get calls all the time from them. And so what we've had is a tremendous shift of wealth. I think it is the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind that has taken place in the last 8 years since NAFTA took effect.
But, you know, the average American doesn't see that. After all, we still have cars, at least up until recently. We were doing very well. We created this tremendous amount of of wealth with this great bubble. Of course, there was no wealth behind the stock market bubble. We've lost about $8 million of this non-existent wealth. People could live and live very well, you know. But, of course, down the line, I don't think people understand that we have become the greatest debtor nation in the world.
We have to
have money from other countries coming in so that we can simply fund all of these things we're obliged to, and now the war and all of these new obligations and the money we're giving to this country and that politician we're bribing with $1 billion and $1 billion to Musharraf in Pakistan, and you know, I don't know how much to other people in the Syria and the other totalitarian dictatorships we're giving them the money. But eventually, doesn't the day of reckoning come when a country can't pay its bills and can't meet its international obligations? What happens?
Well, the day of reckoning is really coming every day. The American people don't notice it, but it is coming in the form of this gradual inflation that has taken place and has been for now a long time. I look at a $20 bill, and what I'm looking at is a $2 bill. What was a $2 bill 20 years ago? And you have to look at it that way, because that's what's happened. You know, every year, well, really almost every day, this inflation thing has been going on and on and on. Nobody notices it because it's, you know, it's. But the food prices in the stores today are five times what they were just 10 years ago. It's amazing how they've been able to get away with this robbery, which is what it is, of course. And it's the Federal Reserve, again, printing all that money to try to mask and hide what's really happening in the world, that our production base is no longer there. And I'm particularly concerned about this in the context of this war that George Bush is trying to get us into right now. This country is not prepared for a war. Again, is in my opinion, but the Army Chief of Staff, way back in General John Wickham, way back in 1987-88, warned that the United States should not get into a war that would last for more than a few months because the industrial base is no longer there to support a prolonged war. And that was now... 15 years ago, and it's gotten much worse since then. The 700 steel plants that had closed up ending 1988, but there's been another 300 or 400 that have closed up since then. Our steel industry is a pale shadow of what it was years ago when we were winning, the World War and so on. We're not even in the game anymore. We can't support our submarines and our highest tech instruments that are being used are coming from Japan and places like this. We saw what happened here just in the last few weeks with this lockout or strike or whatever you want to call it that happened in the docks in San Francisco and on the West Coast and the automobile plants were shutting down within just a matter of days because they weren't getting the parts in from the Orient, so right away you see what's happened to the production of this country just in that one little instance.
But I don't think the average person really understands that. I mean, they find it so difficult to believe that their leaders would lie to them to get this legislation through, and then, of course, this would just sort of hemorrhage the wealth of America to other nations. But, of course, what are we running in the way of a deficit now? $400 billion, almost a half?
$450 billion.
That's getting pretty close to a half a trillion, you know.
This year, it was on the way to becoming 500 trillion.
500 million.
I'm talking about the real, well, it isn't really the real trade deficit, because the real trade deficit is twice that much. We keep pointing this out in our newsletters, because every month I have to make a special call to find out what the closest thing to the real trade deficit is what they call the goods-only balance of payment deficit. Now, this does not include the services, because the services are an absolute phony. They can make one call from London or Tokyo and transfer $10 billion to New York, and that goes in on the other side of the ledger, you see, to depreciate the trade deficit. So what we have here is the press covering up this real trade deficit year after year. They announced $340 billion for last year, for 2001, and it was $450 billion. But they don't include the biggest import of all, as far as dollars are concerned, and that is the illegal drugs that are coming in, 80% of them coming in through Mexico, incidentally. And they don't include this. And that is another, you can tack on another $200 to $300 billion a year on the trade deficit with that one item alone. And that doesn't include the contraband that's coming in, the very expensive high alloy steel that's coming in labeled as ordinary run-of-the-mine carbon steel. One cost $20, $2,000 a pound, and the other cost, $200 a ton. It's ridiculous what they're doing to us. But our customs service can't keep up with it. It's impossible for them to keep up with it.
Well, of course, at one time, Great Britain was the greatest nation in the world, and they used to say the sun never set on the British Empire.
Well, they did the same thing to themselves, Dr. Monteith.
Right.
And when they passed the Corn Laws, repealed the Corn Laws, back in the 1830s, and it really took effect in the 1840s, and Britain was the predominant industrial power in the world at that time, as you know, they went from being far and away number one to within 40 years, they were way behind the United States, and Germany had gone ahead of them. They went down just as quickly as we're going down right now.
But people don't realize that. How can we get the American people to understand that our leaders, and whether they be the Republican or the Democrat leaders, have a different world vision? Their loyalty is not to the United States, but to this internationalist dream.
Yes, yes. Well, what we have to do, and I don't know if there's still time to do it, is to find leaders who do not have that dream, who are able to oppose that dream and to puncture it and to tell the truth to the American people. The problem is, if they do that, they're almost automatically coughed out of the computer. The polls will knock them off, and they're not even seriously considered for election to any office in this country anymore.
And they would be demonized and radicalized and
That's
attacked,
right.
And they would find the adjectives of extremist, radical, reactionary, racist, and they would use all of these adjectives to describe and discredit the person. They know exactly how to do it because they control the reality of the American people. And that was one of the things that really got me involved in this many years ago, was to realize the media created my reality, and the really significant events of history were never recorded in America. And if you want to know what's really going on in the world, don't read a Time, Newsweek, U.S. News World Report. Read the foreign press, or better still, of course, listen to Radio Liberty here, and we'll try to get you the information or give you the access to the information you're not going to get from the controlled media in the United States. Because if you can control the media, you can control what the American people think. Well, right now we're going to have to just take a moment and remind you that Radio Liberty is listener supported, and we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, actually 5 hours every day, and I'll be at almost 50 outlets across America every week. But it's an expensive proposition, and if you're concerned, as I am, about what's going on, we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America with the information you're not going to get elsewhere. And so you could do that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, as much as you can really afford, while you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, But more than that, you'll be helping us. Now, you can subscribe to our newsletter. If you haven't had a copy of our newsletter in the past, we'd be glad to send you one free. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Our September newsletter explains to you what the attack on the World Trade Center was really about and how it is being used to enact all sorts of laws in the name of fighting terrorism that have nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. What they've done is redefined terrorism. And you have to have an incident to get the American people to go along with this, and of course to intimidate the members of Congress into voting for legislation that they've never even seen. And the average, in fact, no member of Congress was allowed to see, no member of the House of Representatives was allowed to see the USA Patriot Act before they voted on it, at least according to Congressman Ron Paul. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free copy of our newsletter. Seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family and plan to come to the meeting we're going to have on the 23rd of November.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, I guess this afternoon, Mr. William Gill from the American Coalition for Competitive Trade. And remember, as I was mentioning, we're going to have a day-long seminar out at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's going to be on the 23rd of November. Doors open at 8 o'clock. The program starts at 8:45. It's going to go to 5. There's going to be a luncheon. There's going to be a syllabus for everybody. And we hope you can come and bring your friends. And, of course, we're going to stress how you're going to prepare yourself, because we're, I believe, in for some very, very difficult times from a health point of view, from a financial point of view, from a freedom point of view. So think about very seriously coming. We'd love to see you there. That's the 23rd of November, all day right here in Santa Cruz. If you're coming from an adjacent area, of course, we'll get you a map. We'd love to hear from you. And call 1-800-544-8927 to make your reservations. And let's go to Herman, who's calling in from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Very good. I recently heard someone mention that we may be headed into what economically could be called the perfect storm.
That's Mr. Poplava, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a nice analogy.
And I'd like to ask how concerned our guest is with a quick meltdown of the markets, and also whether he's concerned with Europe rising as a colossus to compete with the United States on the world stage, because we're already sparring with Germany over our foreign policy. And if the world switches to the euro, is that possible? Is he concerned about that?
All right, well, I'll ask him now. I don't know that he wants to answer that.
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine.
Well, then,
go ahead.
And as a matter of fact, our very first newsletter that went out over 12 years ago, it'll be 13 years this coming month, was on that very subject, predicting what was going to happen with Europe uniting and on the verge of uniting at that time, and that they are becoming the color. We treat that every once in a while in our monthly newsletters, and again, just recently, the evidence is that the Europeans now believe that they are on the edge of taking over from the United States as the world, and the euro is going to be the standard of the world, not the dollar anymore.
And of course,
and in fact, a friend of mine, or I should say acquaintance, but very friendly, who was Lord Rees-Mogg, who was the longtime editor of the Times of London, and later the chairman of the BBC, and he wrote a column not too long ago. I'd be glad to send your guest or anybody else a copy of it, in which he says that this is the end of the dollar as the standard.
Well, would you mind sending that to me, and I could make it available to our listeners?
Oh, I'd be glad to.
I certainly know the gentleman you're speaking of, and he certainly is a world expert and certainly should be listened to.
Yes, he is.
All right, Herman, so basically, of course, Mr. Gill is agreeing that we are in real trouble, and once the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, it will lose its stability, and when that happens, people who are in annuities, in fixed increments, in bonds, and in any monetary instrument are going to, of course, experience exactly what has happened in Argentina recently, where people lost 70% of the value of their currency, in Brazil, where they lost 40% of the value of their currency. I mean, I'm talking within the last couple of months, only I think that, of course, that will be very mild compared with what's going to happen here. But I also believe that when a country turns its back on God, and the one way God gets back, one way God gets their attention is to destroy them financially. And now these people who say, oh, well, we don't want to hear any bad news today, will be pleading with you to tell them what to do. Only then it's going to be too late. So now is the time to take action, and we're going to be talking about that and what you need to do at the meeting we're going to be holding. Go ahead. Anything else, Herman?
Yeah, Mr. Gill, could you comment on the real estate markets in this country, and I'll take the answer off the air, and also if you could tell us your newsletter price so we can order it.
Let me tell you that first. It's $20 a year, and it can be sent to P.O. Box 25764, Washington, D.C., 20007, and the checks can be made out just to ACT, A-C-C-T. That's the American Coalition for Competitive Trade, but you can boil it down to ACCT, put the ink on the INC if you wish. But on the other question that you were posed first there, what was that now? You'll have to remind me again.
He asked about the what would happen to property and what's going to happen to property.
Yes, about the real estate market. And that has held up, as we know, quite well, particularly here in the Washington area. There's no way of foretelling, but we do have something to look back on here, and that is that the beginning of the real depression, and that's what it has been in Japan, was a collapse in the real estate market that began about 8 or 10 years ago. And apparently has continued to this day, has affected the whole banking system, which they're now trying to thoroughly overhaul, and so on. And again, I must tell you that I predicted this in my book that came out in 1990, Trade Wars Against America. I predicted that Japan's banks were going to go into the tank, because it was obvious from the way that they were putting all their bets on the exports and making it an export economy, that they had to go into the tank, and they did.
Well, I think the most interesting thing is that 8 of the world's largest banks a decade ago were Japanese banks.
That's correct.
And, of course, now those banks, many of them are penny stocks. Our major banks are in real trouble. We're talking about $45 to $50 trillion in derivatives, investments, that our banks hold, and probably $100 trillion throughout the world. And all this is phony baloney, and nobody really understands it. And I'll tell you what, they're scared to death that if this house of cards comes tumbling down, with it will come the stability of our country, which is why FEMA is planning on emergency dwelling places, relocation camps for large numbers of people. And if you don't believe that, you go up on the FEMA webpage or go to, not WorldNet Daily, but Newsmax, and read Chris Ruddy's articles on that, and you realize that our leaders know something that the American people don't. So what do you think is going to happen as we get into more and more financial problems?
Well, it's my belief that we have been on the edge of a depression and I mean depression, not just a recession, for some time. I base this primarily upon the tremendous downsizings of jobs that's continued. And incidentally, it really exploded in September. It went from something like 80,000 or something they had lost to two or three times that much. I'm talking about the the number of jobs that they're no longer creating. It's a deficit now, rather than a creation of jobs. They're losing jobs, and so this is and you must understand that the unemployment rate does not reflect the true loss of jobs in this country, and the reason is that every month, statistically, the Bureau of Labor Statistics drops between 300 and 400,000 people out of their computers. They've lost their jobs. They arbitrarily say that, oh, but they're not looking anymore, so they shouldn't be counted in the statistics. And so every month, that's how they control how they keep that down around 5%. Now between 5.5-6%, and so on. That's how they keep it down, by just juggling that one figure of the people who are no longer looking for jobs, and they just throw them out of the computer. So right away, you've got the Bureau of Labor Statistics is every month handing out fiction. They're not handing out the real job losses at all.
Well, I know from many of our supporters, I mean, some of them have lost their jobs, and, they just can't continue, supporting us, which we certainly understand, and some people are having some very difficult times. Those people who have a regular income and jobs are fine, but, we just don't know. I mean, government's going to have to start laying off people. It's got too many people. It's bloated, and there's not going to be any money for supporting all these government jobs. The same thing with our schools. And, of course, we're already seeing them downsizing industry. We're just about out of time. What are your thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the thought I would like to leave is to please join with us, as you have, Dr. Monteith, in trying to stop this free trade area of the Americas Treaty. Because if that goes through, I'm afraid that is the death knell of American sovereignty and independence. When they wrap us up with all of Latin America, with all of those narco republics down in Latin America, and they merge the United States economically, we'll be merged politically with them in a very short order, and that's the end of the United States. And we can't afford to let that happen. We've got to stop it. I think we can stop it. We only lost the fast track by 3 votes. We can turn it around, but we have to begin now to do it, because they're going to bring that treaty up very fast within the next year or so.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll
be talking to you later. Bye bye.
Bye now.
All right, fine. Well, that was Mr. William Gill, and I hope you enjoyed him. He's certainly one of my favorite guests, and he's right back there in the heart of Washington, D.C. He's been there for many years. He knows everybody, and what a pleasure it is to have somebody like that who really understands what's happening. But how do we get the average American to realize there's a problem? And, of course, all we can do is tell them the truth. I think that they're going to understand very, very soon as they begin to see the progressive a degeneration and of our currency here. Of course, our real estate bubble is going to begin to burst one of these days. And then, of course, if our currency goes, you'll see runaway inflation like you've never imagined before. Could it happen? Of course it can happen. It can happen whenever a nation turns its back on solid finances, and even more, it happens when a nation turns its back on God. Well, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, for revival, and for our ministers, because they should be leading this. They should be the people who are pointing the way and explaining to people what's happening. People are looking for leaders, and where do we find them? Well, if there is a man who's honest, you can be sure he'll be vindicated by every means of communication in this country. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Look forward to seeing you at the meeting on the 23rd of November out of the Aptos Seascape. And until tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
get very many calls. Well, that's true. But they're quality.